Hey, thanks for downloading this podcast. If you want to listen live, be sure to download the iHeartRadio app and search for Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Thanks for listening and enjoy the show.
It's In This League with Scott Bogman and Chris Welsh. On the radio.
30. I'm on right now. I don't believe you.
You boys in line.
All right, it's hour two in this league. Scott Bogman, Chris Welsh, that is us. You can find us wherever the social media platforms are. InThisLeague.com will take you to our Patreon. It's patreon.com/ITL Army because we're a hub of podcasts. That's what we're about.
Love hubs.
I know. Bogman is a big hub guy. And you know what? I'm a hub guy too, just in smaller iterations. But that's okay. It doesn't matter how much. But, you know, we call it the ITL hustle. That's what we're all about. We pump out podcasts left and right. And if that is your thing, then we are someone for you. We don't do a whole bunch of writing. You'll catch our stuff here and there. I'm in this year's Fantasy Black book, Joe Pisapia's book with some baseball tips. Bogman is in the football book. You know, we occasionally jump stuff out, but we're here to bring you audio content. And we have got an immense amount of podcasts. We currently have two a week on basketball, two a week on baseball. We were pumping out player debate podcasts on the baseball feed. I've got a prospect show. I just had an episode with Ben Badler from Baseball America for international prospects and, you know, dynasty stuff. Bogman has got college football, and I believe we have got some NFL draft coverage dropping soon.
Coming up. Yeah, absolutely. So, yeah, I'm trying to write my mock draft. It's proving to be way more time consuming than I thought, of course, as everything is.
Yeah, what is the episode? Yeah. The episode is going to be your mock draft breakdown, right?
Yeah, yeah. I'm going to do a mock draft, post it on Monday, and then I'm going to talk about it as well. So it'll go up on Patreon, of course, first, and then I'll talk about it on the podcast. So,
yeah, so good stuff.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. So lots going on. But, you know, before the break, we were talking about proposed rule changes.
Talking about the whole playoff thing where it was not only adding two, I think, per league, but then I don't even think you got to it, was the top team could pick who they play.
Yeah, yeah. To be honest, I don't even know how it works. I didn't look into it that much because I got to be honest, my reaction, like everybody else's, was, well, that's effing stupid. Yeah. Why would you do that? Like, I think what they should do is just make that wild card a 3-game series instead of 1 game, right? I think that makes more sense. Like, you play an entire season and you play series against teams whenever you play them, and for the whole thing to come down to 1 game, it's exciting, but it's also a little nuts too. So I think they should make that into a 3-game series and just do it that way. I don't think we need to add any teams or anything, but yeah. And then, you know, if you get to pick your opponent, now you're going to have someone super pissed off about that. So I don't know. It's just very weird. I didn't like the proposal at all. But we actually have real rule changes that are going into effect this season, the Welsh. And I don't think we've talked about them that much. There's three, and the three are, I'm just going to list them here, a 3-batter minimum for relief pitchers. And that's supposed to help with the extended amount of commercial breaks, because yeah, that's what drags out these baseball games. At the end, you're in the seventh, you're in the eighth, you bring in a righty to face a righty, and then they pinch it for a lefty, and then you bring in the lefty, and it's just a bunch of nonsense.
That's fine, but we all know it's going to get manipulated because it's subject to a injury. So we absolutely know there's going to be, wow, isn't that interesting? With runners on second and third and one out, this righty just pulled his hamstring and had to get taken out of the game. And this lefty specialist had to come in, you know, after he faced one batter. We're going to see it. Like, we're going to see it manipulated.
You're going to see
everyone freak out.
It's just going to lead to more rules, right? Like, it's going to be like, if you miss a game or if you have to leave in the middle of an inning, you have to be on the injured list for a minimum of 10 days or something. Like, you're going to see that. You're going to see corresponding rules for this. You're going to have rules on top of rules on top of rules.
Which, you know, best thing for sports is to really, mount up the rules. Make sure you got a mountain of rules.
Everyone talks about how great the NFL is because nobody knows what the hell a catch is in the NFL anymore. It's like, I see a guy catch the ball and turn around, but he didn't take one more step and then he fumbled the ball. So it's not a fumble. It's not a catch. So, you know, it's just adding more crap is not helpful to this. So I don't know. I think if you want to make the game faster, the Welsh, why don't they start at like the little league level? Like just get into your pitches quicker, get into your stance quicker. So the pitchers need to not be human rain delays. Throw the ball, get it back, get on the mound and throw the ball again. You don't have to touch your hat, you know, scratch your ass, you know, adjust your junk, get up on the mound and then stare in for 20 seconds.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Just get the ball and throw it.
So, what else were on the proposed stuff?
What's next?
Or what? Yeah. What's next?
26 man roster, is on there. So,
and I think they're capped at 13 total pitchers on the 26
right.
man.
Right. 26 man roster, 13 total pitchers is what you're capped at. And then the one that I actually find to be the best, the 20 seconds max for a manager to ask for a replay call. So you don't have this, you know, let's have our replay guy look at our video and then go out and then you walk out and ask for a replay after that. So
yeah, you know what they should do like with that too? They should just kill the mound visits. Cause I know, what do they say? Like there's six mound. They should just have two timeouts in a game. Like that's yeah. it. No mound visits, no delay stuff. Like you take all the little, you know, outside, you know, stepping outside of the box and this, that, and the other thing, take away the big presentation of bullpens and all this and just have like, you get two timeouts and the game just keeps going. There's no talking to the pitcher and getting settled and blah, 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 blah.
It's just, there's too much downtime in baseball and that's what kills it is, you know, everyone, there's so many choices of what to do now. Everything's available at your fingertips. You don't have appointment watching anything. No one sits like the only show in the last like 5 years that people sat down and watched when it happened was Game of Thrones, right?
Yeah.
What other show has been like that? Maybe Breaking Bad was like that, and that was still only for the last season.
Yeah,
when
you really
everyone
only,
was into
you
it.
You can only really count like the last like 4 or 5 years because – you know, that's
yeah, streaming
the
hasn't been as
well.
Good.
Streaming and
yeah.
DVR, because you could say like Lost. I remember the Lost finale was like a phenomenon and whatnot. But like that's just, you know, HBO with Game of Thrones. That was about it. Like Watch. I don't know. Watchmen was kind of towing that territory, but it's just been nothing like Game of Thrones. So,
yeah, dude. I mean, I didn't even finish Watchmen, to be honest with you.
It's only one season, so it's hard to, you know.
Yeah, it's hard to get into for sure. But yeah, I mean, like I like these rule changes, but I think at the end of the day, the biggest thing needed is for these games just to go a little bit quicker. You know, the NBA, I feel like, is moving past baseball in popularity because you don't have to take 3 hours to watch a game. And they're not every single day either, like baseball. You know, it's once every other day your team might be playing or your favorite player might be playing, because a lot of people don't even, you know, a lot of people that are NBA fans aren't just a fan of a team anymore. They're a fan of a player, or they're a fan of, you know, what's going on NBA Twitter instead of just being obsessed with one team like our generation is, the Welsh. Like things are changing like that. That's what you kind of want if you're baseball. You want people to be into Mike Trout. You want people to be into Mookie Betts or whoever, Garrett Cole, Stanton, you know, your most popular players in the world. That's what you want, but the games are so long and they drag out in the 3 hours. I think that's what you need to be doing before adding these other replays. And some of these are in an attempt for that. But like you just mentioned, Welsh, the 3-batter minimum is absolutely going to be abused this year. And I wouldn't be surprised to see it, take actually longer with this rule because of the fake injuries.
Man,
right?
I'm just bored with all of this. I'm never bored with baseball because I'm cool with the nuances
of
baseball.
You get it. Yeah.
I'm just bored with like this. I just think they're doing the wrong thing. Like they think it's all about changing the speed of the game and getting those little specifics down when I don't know, man, I hate to say it, but I think it's that other end of where just Bauer was, where it was just like, you know what, why don't you, instead of trying to speed up the game to make it more watchable in that respect, why don't you try to make it more fun? Get the players more excited, you know, let the personalities flow a little bit more. You know, you're kind of getting some of that, like Pete Alonso's got a dynamic personality, Fernando Tatis Jr. personality, you know, got the pink armbands and all this stuff. Like, let the guys, I don't know, let the guys be excited about their country, you know, embrace the diversity of baseball, let them have crazy socks and shoes and I don't know, just like let the game be more fun, because I don't I think the slow pace doesn't help to fun. You know, the game is hard to pick up for some people that can lack fun. But like you, if you sit there and you watch and you can see people having fun and, you know, a homer's hit and a guy's flipping a bat and pitchers are pumping their arms like they're Tiger Woods on a strikeout. And, you know, there's just like cool stuff going on that people would want to emulate. You make the game more fun. Like, I hate that we spend so much time talking about like the logistics of these type of things. Like those rules, they're not that exciting. Now it does changes maybe the structure of some things that are going to happen with baseball, especially from the fantasy perspective. Like there's no longer a 40-man roster. In 26, it's only one extra guy. So that is going to change, you know, the manipulation of play towards the back end of the year for a lot of guys. Because Arizona Fall League is going on in
September. I think there's still a 40-man roster, but you have 26 active players now.
The September call-ups. There's no September call-ups. It's instead of a four, like the September turn to a 40-man roster. That is no longer the case. It's 26 guys.
And, you know, Casey, Bubba, and I are going to talk about the XFL coming up in hour three here. But I think you need to steal stuff from the XFL. I think you need to, if you're baseball, why not have a dugout reporter, right? Go up and talk to the player. Dude. Hey, you know, you just struck out on a 3-2 pitch there. What were you looking for?
How much,
you know what I mean?
Did we lose our minds when Mookie Betts was wired up for spring training and they got to talk to them? It's a great idea. It's an absolutely great idea. And you know what? They might want to put some reporters around there to make sure no garbage cans are getting banged or anything like that. Maybe that'll fix for the accountability. So, all right. You know what? Bauer kind of wins, unfortunately, in this territory. Baseball is eating itself from the inside. The rule changes are not well received. It is a weird alternate universe. And Jim Crane, by the way, says, I don't think we should be held responsible. You are the worst, dude. Little update coming up, by the way, on that trade talk we were talking about with Arenado and Bryant. There's a little report out there that I want to talk about, so don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
Want to be the next Daily Fantasy Millionaire? Dunk on your NBA DFS competition with DailyRoto.com and dominate on FanDuel and DraftKings this season. Compete with the pros with DailyRoto.com, Optimizer, and the most accurate projections in NBA DFS, plus lineup alerts, breaking news, late swap support, and much more. Save 10% on winning NBA DFS advice with promo code DUNK. Visit DailyRoto.com/dunk to learn more.
In this league.
Look at us. Huh? Who would have thought?
Not me.
Who would have thought?
Not me.
Look at us.
Who would have thought?
Not me.
It is In This League. Scott Bogman on Twitter at Bogman Sports. You can find me on Twitter at IsItTheWelsh. We're tweeting about all the stuff that we got. We're going to be tweeting out the games. You know, we're lucky guys, Bogman. We always forget. We take Arizona for granted sometimes because it gets 115 degrees and that type of stuff. But this time of year, I know there's some jealousy out there because people are watching from afar where you and I are, you know, a stone's throw away from any point in Phoenix. You are within 10 minutes probably of a stadium no matter where you're at. Like you particularly, you're close to Salt River. You could get over there in 10, 15 minutes. Me, I'm literally 5 minutes away at my work or at my home from the Rangers and Royals, and I'm about 15 minutes from the Diamondbacks or the Cubs in either direction that I go.
Honestly, spring training is kind of why I want to hit White Castle now, because White Castle is a street over from the stadium.
You know, to your point, let me add something for you here, because somebody asked me, I post, you know, some pictures from the backfields for the Padres, and it was like pictures of Tatis and Paddock and Mackenzie Gore, and someone under it was like, was this open to the public? And I was like, yeah, I'm like, just not a ton of people there because people are not locked in yet. Like they've just reported next week the workouts start. So it'll pick up a little bit, but people go to the backfields and all the stuff when the games start. So people are not dialed in. I mean, there was enough people. There was probably, you know, at most maybe 30 people there today, at its peak. So there's not a lot of people. So what I'm getting at, to your point, is you've probably got about 7 days to get over there, because once spring training starts, forget about it, because people go to the backfields and stuff like that. There's stuff kind of going on from 9 a.m. until the game's end till about 5 p.m. and people are staying in hotels, the casino's over by there. White Castle's going to be a disaster.
Yeah, so I mean that whole area. Yeah, because there's some good restaurants, and there's, you know, where Salt River is, there's a lot of shopping stuff going on over there. But like, there's this block of time between 2 hours before the game starts to 2 hours after the game ends where it's just impossible to drive around that stadium. And I haven't been to your new place yet where you just moved to, but I mean, how close are you to Surprise Stadium?
Like, 5 minutes. Yeah.
Because my aunt and uncle lived there forever, and they live right, you know, probably I think even a little bit further than 5 minutes away from Surprise Stadium. But there's a lot of stuff over by Surprise Stadium, or at least where they would have to drive past.
I'm Surprise in the corner. Like, stuff. I'm over to the right. Like, I'm okay where I live.
What's your exact address?
Yeah,
can you give it to me. I'll Google it.
Yeah, exactly. You can Google Maps, like that one guy, right? Yeah. Hits me up in the DMs. Hey, like your house. I'm like, okay, never get my all address. Right. I got again.
Not creepy.
No, it's I mean, it is literally 5 minutes on the Google Maps, but it's just kind of a way where it's okay. Like, listen, like it's gonna get crowded and stuff like that. But I mean, what we're getting at the end of the day is it's cool. It's nice. It's a bonus that, you know, we get half of baseball is here right now. You know, half of the play, Mookie Betts, Chris Bryant, Nolan Arenado, who we're about to talk about, all these guys are out here in Phoenix and we can go access them. And I don't know, you know, maybe that doesn't mean anything to anybody, but, you know, we get to go and see these guys in person. We get to talk to you about stuff we saw. Sometimes it means something, sometimes it doesn't. I mean, I will say, you know, you laughed at me about it, Boggs, but last year, remember when we went to the Surprise Stadium and Mike Minor was dealing?
Yeah.
And I was kind of saying, Mike Minor looks pretty damn good, and you were having none of it because you were Ross Stripling it up. And then what happened to Mike Minor that year?
Yeah, Mike Minor had a great year last year, but I don't think one good spring training start. Come on.
Well, you know, but it's not, I mean? Okay, like, but that's not what the point is. It's not like, hey, guys,
well,
be all in.
Well, it sounded like you were making that the point.
Well, what I'm saying is like sometimes we get to offhandedly, we'll talk about something, we'll be like, wow, Mike Minor looks pretty damn good against the Dodgers here for 4 innings. Maybe that's something people want to take into consideration, and we'll break down. You know, I mean, I took it too much of a joke because it was about Stripling.
Well, we had a bet on that game too, so we were going back and forth on.
Well, and everyone was team Stripling, and that was, I was team Mike Minor because Ross Stripling was pitching. But I'm just saying, like, we'll get nuggets out of this stuff sometimes. And you know, I got to remember when I reported about Lindor. You know that Lindor had returned and he was on the backfields that one day I was there, and he hit two homers. You know, because that was the wrist injury, Senzel, that type of stuff. So you know, it's a little added bonus. So
do you like spring training more because the big league guys are here, or do you like the fall league better because they're more accessible, there's less people around, and you actually get to really interview them then?
Well, I mean, that is designed. Yeah. I probably have the most fun during there because that's designed for, like, you know, the first kind of step for these, like, younger studs to, like, you know, they're really going through interviews and every day, and, you know, it's a different collection. I probably like that the most. Just for my personal thing. But I will tell you, like, this is cool right now. I like seeing the major leaguers and stuff like that. But my favorite time is when all the minor leaguers are here. And then here's how a day goes. In the morning, you go to any facility. They have all the major leaguers working on the different fields. The minor leaguers working. Then when the game goes on for spring training, on the backfields, there are four games going on. Four minor league games almost at any complex because the entire organization's minor league team, minor leaguers are here and they're playing. And you're seeing international guys and you're seeing from low A to triple A and they're going and they're playing different teams. Like, I think that is where I have, that's probably my second love, you know, being able to, for an hour, watch Fernando Tatis Jr. and Manny Machado do stuff. And then I can go watch, you know, CJ Abrams and Mackenzie Gore roll out.
My favorite thing about spring training is doing the doubleheader where, you know, I mean, usually you're fairly sauced at the end of the first game and then you go to the night game, and the night game, like, the temperature is perfect. It's nice and cool. You're cooling off from that sunburn that you got from the first game. And then you really dive into the beers in the late game.
Like, the beers that are fun.
Yeah, that the fun doubleheader is always my favorite. And it always used to start at what's the one where the Sun Devils play now? I can't, whatever.
Oh,
Phoenix Muni.
Yeah. The
Phoenix
A's.
Municipal Stadium.
When the A's used to play there.
Yeah, the A's used to play there, and that's where I would start it. And then we'd either work our way over to Tempe Diablo to watch the Angels, or we'd go back up to Salt River and on occasion Peoria. But in Peoria, you got to find – you can't take an Uber there. You got to you got to have a designated driver for that one.
So – let's follow back up with something. In last hour, we were talking about the Arenado and Chris Bryant stuff, and I think we cited Patrick Saunders. I think that was who we cited in the – he had the tweet, you know, blah, blah, blah. I don't remember what it was. But Patrick Saunders, he is a Rockies beat writer. He has a really interesting tweet that he put out on Thursday at 3 p.m. that I did not see, Bogman. It goes – and he's a checkmark, you know, beat reporter for them. Lots of Rockies, Arenado, and Bryant rumors floating out there. But one source told me that the Cubs might be creating media noise to make a better deal with the Phillies, Nationals, or Braves. So very interesting. None of those teams, all the GC, the Grapefruit League type of guys or teams, but those have been the three probably most predominant teams interested in Chris Bryant. So this rumor, which I think is I think is weirdly interesting, because like, why would the Rockies really would? Why would they need to be involved to like spice up? You have three other teams battling each other. Is it supposed to be like, you know, hey guys, I know you all want him, but guess what? This trade really makes sense with Arenado. Like, I don't, I'm not sure I buy that, what the source is trying to say. Like, when there's three teams involved, why do you need a four to like make noise? That doesn't make any sense to me.
Yeah, I think it's a little bit much because, I mean, at some point, this deal seems like it's going to happen in the next week. That's my...
It does feel like that.
That's the sense that I get. Is that the same thing for you, Welsh?
Yeah, I think I'm with you. I think I think this feels like... This feels like this could happen before the spring training games start, which would be right. Like by the 21st.
Right. So, yeah, exactly. So... I think that that could absolutely happen. So I'm kind of with you as far as, you know, to me, it would take more teams out of a potential trade than it would create a bidding war. So I don't know if I'm necessarily buying that. You know what that feels like? That feels like a source from the Cardinals or Nationals or Phillies said to this guy, yeah, you know what I heard? That's all bull crap. And it's just trying to get us to raise our stakes here. You know, that's what it feels like to me. Just, I don't know.
And see, now we're getting into like, this is like the
all false flags,
like the Charlie Day meme and stuff. He's just like, it's like going around. Like literally the only thing I see out of this is like the only buzz this creates is if teams are like, wow, that makes a whole lot of sense. They're going to get Arenado. But like, what are they going to do? Like, what are the teams offering right now? I have no idea what, I don't know what a Nationals trade looks like for Chris Bryant. A Braves, you can piece it together a million different ways with Austin Riley and any pitching prospects. And the Phillies, kind of the same way. The Phillies have some, they got some good assets from Alec Baum and Spencer Howard and stuff like that. I just don't know what a Nationals look like. But like, would someone really think this is just like a thing to get them pushed up, that now they're going to give up more because Arenado's on the table? I don't know. That seems stupid. I think there's more reality to Arenado, Bryant, than this being a false flag like you called
dude,
it.
Because it seems like they're at the, you know, maybe they're not at the goal line, but they're at least in the red zone. It seems like they're figuring out what the other prospect is that goes with Chris Bryant to the Rockies and how much money the Rockies are going to pay of Arenado's contract, you know, and how long is it going to last? Is it you pay the whole contract for 2 years? Do you pay a little bit of the contract over 5 years? Like what, how does that work out? Plus, depending on how much money you pay, what prospect goes back? It seems like they're in the red zone here, you know, and to use a football metaphor for a baseball trade, it seems like it's very, very close to getting done. So I just don't see this being a false flag or any of that nonsense.
Yeah. I mean, I'm kind of with you. I mean, we were in the right realm of the Mookie Betts stuff, saying we thought it needed to get done before spring training. And I think we might be at the point. I'm very tempted to want to go down to Salt River and go over on the Rocky side and just, you know, not that Arenado would give anything to see, but it just feels like this is something, if you're going to get it done before the games start up. It seems like a likely thing. We got to go to break. More on this league coming up.
DailyRoto.com. Learn from the game's best DFS players. We don't just give you premier advice. We play every day. All major sports, all year round, we never stop. Industry-leading DFS tools and custom projections. And now, the DailyRoto.com Optimizer. In minutes, build an optimized lineup for cash games and tourneys. Learn from the game's best DFS players. Join DailyRoto.com.
It's In This League.
Got what plants crave. It's got electrolytes.
What are electrolytes? Do you even know? It's what they used to make.
In This League.
I'm the smartest guy in the world, says who?
IQ test you took in prison. Brought to you by Carl's Jr.
Welcome back. It is In This League right here on the Sports Grid. It is ITL Live with the boys Bogman and Welsh. And pre-spring training strikes again. I mean, nothing is even happened yet. The guys are just simply reporting, and already,
you know, Welsh, this is why I don't work out right here. This,
you know what?
The reason.
It's a great reason. This is the anti-workout campaign. You could just show all these guys that are all they're literally doing is like stretching and throwing a ball or whatever. Well, Mike Clevinger is going to undergo surgery underwent surgery yesterday on a partial tear of his medial meniscus in his left knee. And apparently, I believe it was something that happened on Wednesday. So, you know, because these guys have all reported they're on Goodyear, they're doing stretching, they're doing running drills. It's nothing intense. They'll have some simulated throw stuff. That's what the Padres had the other day. Well, Luis Patino and Chris Paddock was throwing a session. And this is a brutal blow, an absolutely brutal blow for fantasy owners and obviously Indians fans who are hoping, you know, this median roster can, you know, try to put some stuff together. But Mike Clevinger is thought as like a no doubt top 8 SP in fantasy this year. And this is someone that comes off the board because, Boggs, the timeline typically they say is about 4 to 6 weeks. Now, I don't know if that's 4 to 6 weeks until they can kind of get ramped up, but that would take to the beginning of the season. Here's how I believe you have to approach injuries like this. First month is gone. That's it. Even though the timeline is 4 to 6 weeks and that would take you to the beginning of April, assume there's rehab starts in there and getting good. I'd have to assume that Mike Clevinger is done for April.
Yeah, I mean, I think at least April, right? Because
they said 4 to 6 weeks is the typical timeline.
Yeah, but they say 4 to 6 weeks, and then he's reevaluated after that. So he's, let's say he's reevaluated in a month, right? So that puts him in the middle of March. So the middle of March, then they say, let's look at it in a couple more weeks. So they look at it in a couple more weeks, and they go, okay, now you're good. Well, now he's got to do all of that strength training on his legs and stuff that he missed from spring training. He's got to do a couple minor league starts. So at least April, any type of weird setback or anything, you can miss parts of May as well. Yeah. Plus limiting him for the rest of the season, not necessarily deep in the season, but limiting him at least to start when he comes back. But if he should come back late April, early May.
But dude, I mean, a meniscus tear is bad news. Like, that's not a good one. And what's probably more worrisome than anything, this is Zach Meisel from The Athletic, who covers Cleveland. And the report says that the timeline for his return is going to be established after the procedure. So we are now post-procedure world, but that probably means like, you know, a couple days, a week. You know, they have to see after like swelling from surgeries go down after a couple days. So maybe Monday, Tuesday, we're going to get some type of an estimated timeline. Maybe beforehand, I assume you're going to hear something between 4 and 6 weeks. But you just a top 10 SP is now looking like they're going to miss a month. And, you know, you do fantasy enough, man. Like, I love values. And Clevinger can be one of those sneaky ones where you're just like, a little bit of missed time. They're going to really plummet and stock and stuff. But let me tell you, you play fantasy long enough. You've been burned enough. You just can't go down this route. A perfect example last year, Luis freaking Severino, because we weren't under the guise that like we were going to lose Severino. If I remember correctly, there was drafts before he got hurt, then he got hurt, and it wasn't like we're going to miss more than half the season, so it was kind of a deal. We just assumed like maybe like a month, 6 weeks or something like that. And the dude missed so much significant time. It
he
was
played
such,
three games. It
was, I mean. Yeah, there you go. I, for some reason, I was thinking he played a little bit more. It was a complete burn. So as much as like I'd be into the value of Clevenger, I can't do it. I'm not going
to
be able
dicey.
To do it.
It's just dicey to draft anyone that is going into the season missing time. That's the issue here. And they gave us a nice frame, which, like you said, look, you take that frame and you even push it out a little bit more and you go, well, look, you know, worst come to worst, what am I missing with Clevenger? It's a month, but it's never really a month. It's really, you know, guys that have an injury like this going into the season, you know, I would say, what, 50% of them wind up on the IL again, usually with the same thing because it's bothering them after they get it surgically repaired, especially when it's, you know, it's a knee injury for a pitcher and you use your knees and your arms and everything on every single pitch. So it's just, it's a difficult.
I mean, at least it's not his arm. That's like, if you want to take like a positive away, at least it's not his arm, but you know,
that's true.
Knee's pretty important here. I don't feel great about that. I mean, I'm not that you, I should not feel great anyways, or should, you know, the inverse of what I'm saying. It's just like, this sucks. We just dropped our new ranks the other day. This is one that's going to have to be reevaluated here. You know what I'm going to do real quick, Boggs? Let's do this together. I'm going to pull up my ranks. And you got yours up too?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so I'm getting to, where do you have MSP? And then I'll tell you where I have before the injury.
Six.
Ooh, okay, I had him 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Yeah, I had him 6 also. So I'm going to give you 3 pitchers. Snell, Sale, and Strasburg all over him now, right?
Yeah, easy.
Okay. Bieber, Flaherty, over.
Yep. Now, I mean, I'm moving him further down.
Okay, no, but well, let's go down the route. Let's go down it. Because okay. Here's where things start to open up. Patrick Corbin.
I'm taking Corbin over.
Okay. Clayton Kershaw.
Yep.
Yu Darvish.
Yeah.
Okay. Oh, I mean, anyway. All right. Let me go down here. All right. Now I got a better territory. Charlie Morton.
I'm going to have him ahead of Morton.
Okay, so I think I found the range. Like, what about Chris Paddock?
Yeah, I'm going to have him just below, for me, just below Paddock and Greinke.
So I don't know what numerical range is that?
It's right between. Around 20 for me.
Okay, yeah, I'm looking here. Like, there's no way I can justify him going ahead of guys like Severino, who we just talked about, Giolito, Luis Castillo, Noah Syndergaard. I can't justify any of that. And I still think there's a pretty hard argument even moving down further, like Zach Greinke. Here's a really interesting one. Tyler Glasnow, because we assume Glasnow, you know, he had some injury stuff. I can't imagine he's going to eclipse 200 innings. He's just not that guy for this year. I think most projections have him around like 170. I feel like Tyler Glasnow versus Clevenger is a close one. And I would side on Clevenger with this one.
Yeah, me too. I'm going to be Clevenger ahead of him. So Clevenger is, now that I'm doing it wholly and completely here, I'm going to move him just below Syndergaard on my list. That's where I'm putting him.
I mean, that's significant, dude. I mean, he's going to be probably a little bit lower for me. So, I mean, this is a guy that we had at 6 having a meniscus tear. Now, when the timetable comes out, this is going to help. You know, if they say this is really bad and, you know, it's going to be unclear for the next 4, if they do the, like, 4 weeks and then he'll be reevaluated. Get out of here with that mess. Like,
right,
it's not
right.
Worth it. It ain't worth it, son. Especially too. Think about the Indians, man. What if the Indians end up not being competitive and then you have him miss, let's say it gets more draconian and it's worse and he doesn't come back till June and the Indians aren't winning games in the division. Then you have a guy coming back that, like, are you going to press him? You know, maybe he's got 2 good months and then the team starts kind of paring back. I mean, that's like, it's the big, I'm making a big old draconian view of this, but it legit could be what happens.
Could you drop draconian a couple
Sorry,
more
I know
times
I said it twice.
Me?
I said it twice. Yeah. Yep, that's a lot of times.
Yeah, man. Look, it's one of those things where I think where we put him, it just means we're not going to be drafting him, right? I mean, most likely. If he falls and falls and falls, you got to take the risk on him somewhere. But I think for the most part, it just kind of takes him off of our draft list for the 2020 season because you don't want to go in with a guy that's already hurt.
Let me present a scenario then to you.
Especially Welsh, because you're not really afraid of taking injury risk slash prone guys. So why add another one? You know what I mean?
You're 100% right. And I'm more fearful. I mean, I was burned hard by Severino last year. And, you know, in basketball, I was burned by Kawhi Leonard. The same thing happened with Kawhi Leonard. So I've kind of had like, you know, 18 months where I've had significant players burn me that, you know, one like the Severino one. I had like four shares of him, and I think two of them were pre-injury. And then the other two happened like, you know, the other ones, like I drafted him knowing the injury was going down. But OK, so let's really quickly, let me ask you this. Let's say on Monday they come out and they say this is a best case scenario. 4 weeks will be reevaluated. We're pretty confident it looks successful, and he looks like he'll be back right around the beginning of the season. You get that view. What changes?
Nothing.
Nothing changes for you.
Nothing. Well, because I just like we've heard this crap so many times with so many other players. I feel like I believe them less when they give us a hard window on recovery than I do when they say indefinite amount of time. Like it's like, OK, well, he's going to be back at some point this year. You know, I don't know, man. I've heard too many of those. You know, he should be rip roaring ready to go. All those guys that are they should be right around opening day. I bet you they're way closer to May 1st than they are to April 1st. And opening day is before that even this year. So
I think if I were to get a report that sounded positive like that, like, you know, maybe not the first week, but right after timetable, it was really clean. You know, 4 weeks, he's going to be able to get back up. 6 weeks, maybe a rehab start. So you're looking at like mid-April, and it's a really positive report. I think I would be willing to not go as hard in and into the lower 20s, where I think I'd put him probably right after Darvish. So I think I'd have him between 15 and 17. I think I'd place him above Severino, above Giolito. I mean, you know, Severino with the injury stuff and the bad, you know, couple starts he had. And then Giolito's already got a rib cage injury. I think I would be willing to take the risk there. So if it's a really positive report, maybe into the late teens for me, nothing changes for Bogman. But we got another segment. We can maybe talk a little bit more about this. And maybe our favorite story of all time that's ever happened. It's one of those that everybody tweets at Bogman and I when they hear it. We're going to talk about it, so don't go anywhere. More in this league right back here.
Want to light the lamp on DraftKings and FanDuel this NHL DFS season? Then join DailyRoto.com and learn from the best daily fantasy sports players. Get updated fantasy hockey projections for NHL DFS, line combinations, and build stacks for tournaments in the DailyRoto NHL DFS lineup optimizer. If you are playing daily fantasy hockey without using DailyRoto, you are doing it wrong. Enter the promo code ACTION for a 10% discount. That's promo code ACTION for a 10% discount.
I swear to God, I'll pistol whip the next guy that says...
In this league.
Hey, Farva, what's the name of that restaurant you like with all the mozzarella sticks?
In this league.
Oh. Welcome back. It is In This League live on Sports Grid. I am Chris Welsh. You can find me on Twitter at IsIsTheWelsh. All my musings are there. My tweets, my prospect coverage, photos when I'm out on backfield, stuff like that. That's Scott Bogman at Bogman Sports. All the football takes and NFL draft coverage coming up very, very soon. This week? Did we say this week earlier?
Yeah, we've already done this once, this show.
No, but I'm saying, it'll be this week. Okay.
Yes.
I know it'll did be it.
Coming up this week.
But yeah. I didn't remember
I'm going to be posting
my
mock draft on Monday on Patreon. So that will go up on Monday, and then the accompanying podcast will be at some point this week.
Okay, that's exciting. And you guys can check us out over on patreon.com/ITL Army. If you guys would like to come and hang and support your boys and have so much fun with the comedy shows. Now, this next segment is much more secret show centric.
We almost, to be honest here, we had to kind of talk it through to even talk about it on this show because we wanted to save it for the secret show. But I think it might be a little bit of old news.
Yeah, I think it'll have been like 2 weeks old and it'll have been kind of talked about here or there. So here it is. Dateline. A Florida man. I was about to say that. A Toronto Blue Jays catcher, Reese McGuire, was arrested in Florida last week. And he is accused of exposing himself in a shopping center parking lot. Now,
Who hasn't been there?
I mean, haven't we all? The deputies responded to a report of a man sitting inside an SUV in Dundon, exposed in the Pinellas County Sheriff's Office. They also said that McGuire was cooperative during the arrest and didn't deny the allegations. Deputies said
the hell?
Officials didn't prove any further. So TMZ reports, and TMZ, they're on a roll lately, citing the police report,
they are,
that Reese McGuire had been cranking it in his car.
Gherkin is gherkin, right.
Police reportedly found McGuire with his shirt barely covering his genitals and his pants around his ankles. I mean, who hasn't begurked in the car, I suppose, right? In front of
a hotel room, for Christ's sake.
You're going to get a hotel room to do
that, but I'm just saying, like, you're probably there because this was recent. I'm guessing. And that's also where the Blue Jays do their spring training. I'm guessing he went to spring training early. Like, just because you're in Florida doesn't mean you can do any single thing that you want. I mean, come on.
I feel like Reese McGuire might have been making a political statement because he was jacking it in front of a dollar store, like a Dollar Tree. So maybe it was the plight of the minor leaguer. Like, we're not getting paid enough. Look at me. I got to yank it in the parking lot of a dollar store.
Protest yank. I get it. I see. Who hasn't had a nice protest yank in a parking lot of something that you hate?
There's a cry for help to MLB. Exactly. I mean, handcuff himself to the car, pants around the ankles, and whack in solidarity for MLB.
Is this like dicks out for Harambe?
I think so.
This is hashtag crank it for equal pay.
What was the choice?
For appropriate pay.
What was the choice where he's like, I got to find a good place to do this. Let's make sure I have my pants down to my ankles. And this dollar store parking lot seems
pretty
good. You know
what I think it was? I think it was the complimentary bath salts they give you whenever you enter the state of Florida, or any hotel room you go to, the complimentary, bath salts with a crack pipe at the hotel. That had to be what it was for him. Correct?
Come on. According to the report, cops say after they rolled up to the parking lot, they saw McGuire with his shirt, as I said, barely covering. And by the way, he had sweatpants on around his ankles. Oh, maybe the grossest thing about this story is he was wearing sweatpants. They claim in the report that when they got McGuire out of his car,
he had a full tent,
which they say.
Good. God,
which they say
why?
Was
why is
very
that in the report.
They said was very apparent. They say cops say McGuire apologized to them profusely, saying, quote, "I'm sorry. I'm so sorry. This is really embarrassing. I really shouldn't have been doing that."
Every person knows that except for you, apparently. Good God.
Here's going to be your favorite part. Cops claim when they got McGuire's phone to try to find his current address, they noticed a, quote, extremely pornographic video was playing on the screen. Officers say they asked Reese why he
what
came
is
to
extremely
the,
pornographic. I mean, come on.
They,
we're what, splitting hairs.
What
here
level
now,
of the ocean,
we?
Bogman? What level of the ocean with this hardcore pornographic?
I bet they say extremely pornographic. I bet it's not even down to the dark lair. So
into the oblisphere or whatever.
Maybe it's in a dark lair. Maybe
officers asked Reese why he came to the parking lot instead of just going home.
And anywhere else but a parking lot where other people can see you.
Okay, here we go. McGuire responded that he, quote, did not know. It just seemed like a good place.
Are you? No.
I swear to God, that's a quote.
I can't. That's a quote. He had to be drunk or on some type of drugs then, right?
Well, you know, we're not having a shortage. Do you remember during the AFL? Not everybody remembers this, but there's a pitcher. Do you remember the story with Jacob Nix?
No.
So Jacob Nix.
Wait a minute. I remember something with Jacob Nix.
Okay. So Jacob Nix, I actually really like Jacob Nix as a pitcher. And I've actually been around him in spring training, took a picture with my kid and stuff. And he kind of reminds me of like a Jake Peavy type bulldog on the mound. He had a bad injury. He even made it to the majors. He gets out in the AFL out here in Arizona. And the Padres play in Peoria in Arizona, so he's kind of locally centrally located. He got one start in for the Peoria Javelinas, and then he was arrested because at 2 a.m., he was trying to break into some, and I live, by the way, in Surprise now, where he was, and hopefully it wasn't this house because we do have a doggy
door.
Was
he the one going through the doggy door?
Yep. So he was trying to break into someone's house through a doggy door, and the man who owned the house came out, and they were in, him and this other guy were like escaping through the doggy door, and the guy tased Jacob Nix through the doggy door.
He's lucky.
Yeah.
And I think I said this last year when he did this, or 2 years ago, whenever it was. I mean, you know, he's lucky. He just got tased.
He's very, very lucky. These dudes, these younger dudes that have some money that, you know, are in this type of thing. I don't know. Maybe it's something about baseball. It just, like, I mean, there's, you know, serious stuff everywhere. But the baseball guys, for some reason, they just have so much like offhand. You know what it is? It's also like,
you mean hands on.
Yeah, a little hands on. This is the this is the XDIH stat, by the way. Someone tweeted me about it. This is a baseball reference, baseball podcast reference. Someone said, is this the expected DIH or is this the unexpected? And I said, this is the unexpected DIH, which is a whole nother universally different stat. But I think what's different about like the other sports is all of those guys, like they're in their hometown and, you know, you're traveling and stuff. Baseball is uniquely the one thing that's different, that you're kind of gone at a really young age. You know what I'm saying? Like these college guys, you know, maybe you're at college, but you still have a centrally kind of located place.
Before you go on this diatribe, how old is Reese McGuire right now?
24.
He's only 24?
Oh, is that okay now?
No, I'm not saying it's okay. I'm just saying it makes a little more sense. So at least your argument for it does, because it sounds like you're like, ah, they're young and stupid.
No, I wasn't trying to say
who
that.
Who hasn't cranked it in a Dollar General parking lot? Come on. It's just guys being young.
I just feel like
Varsity Blues. Remember Varsity Blues when he's like, them damn kids been putting their wangers on my window.
I feel like these guys are put out where they've got like more time on their hands. You know, especially in baseball, they're sent out for, not Reese McGuire, not time on his hands. I don't know what it is. I don't know why these guys, why did Jacob Nix get drunk and go through a doggy door and get stunned? Why did Reese McGuire, what, like, that's the worst answer. What was the reasoning to go to the, I need a full breakdown of like, okay, first off, you thought the best idea to do this was in your car. Also, you had your pants down at your ankles and your gross sweatpants, but also, why did you go to a parking lot with a dollar store?
Your tent pitching pants that you had on in the parking lot.
He has to quit baseball, right?
I don't know what I do.
All of his teammates should buy him something from the dollar store in his locker when he reports.
Oh, of course.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Are you kidding me? They've got better stuff going on than that, I'm sure.
No, there's like, no chance. Everybody would be focused. There's no chance, not every single person.
No. I mean better ideas to screw with him.
Yeah. Than just buy tissues, him dollar store tissues.
Oh, yeah, exactly.
Maybe store hand soap.
Someone just buys him a Chromebook, like, here you go, dude. Like, keep it in your hotel room. What are you doing?
Yeah.
It's just so stupid. Like, I just, I'll never understand it.
Yeah, maybe maybe a Schmesh light.
Dude, I'm over here, like, I wear headphones for my neighbor's sake. So, you know, there's no way I would ever be caught dead doing that in public.
It's pretty bad, too, because, like, he's getting a, this is the misdemeanor that's going to be on his record now. Exposure of sexual organs.
Yeah. You know, they'll give that sometimes to like people who will urinate outside, you know, they take a leak on the side of a building or something just to like show them a lesson. But there's a difference. Like that's why you need to go on a list, dude. You can't be doing that in a public place. It's not okay.
No, so. It's not okay. So, hat tip to Reese McGuire and hat tip to all our listeners, the literal thousands of people that were tagging us and DMing us and making sure that we saw that. It's one of those bits where it's like, trust us, guys. We saw
Like, do you guys see this? Like, come on. You know who we are.
It's the most ITL story of all time. Specifically, people are tagging you too, Bob.
Yeah, people thinking that we didn't see that. That it's more insulting than a bad trade-off.
Oh, good. You know what? Good call. Shame on them. Shame on them for thinking that we didn't know that Reese McGuire was flogging the dolphin in the parking lot of a dollar store. We know about that. We know all about that. All right. Hey, I'm out of here. Casey Bubba is coming up. That's my final note here. Casey Bubba and Bogman talking football and XFL. Hour 3 of ITL, so don't go anywhere. Coming back.